Shmuel Aleph, Perek Choftes. We just learned about David was with the Plishtim, and they were gathered for war against Klal Yisrael. Shaul was nervous and was concerned what was going to happen, so he went to the Balas Ov, this woman who did the black magic type of... to bring up the spirit of Shmuel. Now we're back to the Plishtim and David. And Perek Choftes. Vayikbetzu Plishtim es kol machaneihem afeka. The Plishtim gathered their whole army to afek. Now we had learned before in Perek Choftes, they had gathered their army together. In Perek Choftes, the first pasuk was the Plishtim gathered their machaneihem latzava. They gathered all their camp for battle, for war, to fight against Klal Yisrael. But now it says es kol machaneihem. They gathered their whole camp. In other words, this was going to be the battle. They had finally gathered all of their soldiers together to afek. B'Yisrael chonim bo'ayin asher b'Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael was camped by the spring near Yisrael. That was in Yisrael. The Plishtim had a victorious battle previously in Afek. The first battle we mentioned in Sefer Shmuel between the Plishtim and Klal Yisrael in Perek Dalet, it says the Plishtim had camped in Afek. Again, the first pasuk in Perek Dalet. They had camped over there, and they won the war. They captured the Oron, and they destroyed Mishkan Shiloh, they killed the sons of Eli. But that was also in Afek, and now they're back in the same place. So they gathered their whole army to Afek, and Yisrael is camped by the spring that's in Yisrael. Also, we had learned before in Perek Chof Zayin, they had gathered their army. Over there, they had said in Pasuk Dal they were in a place Shunem. Now they had moved their army closer. They were in Afek and they had gathered all their soldiers. The battle is imminent. They've gotten closer. The Sarnei Plishtim Ovrim, the governors of the Plishtim, were passing by. Lemeos v'la'alofim, with hundreds and thousands. V'David v'anoshov, David and his men, Ovrim v'achrona, were passing in the rear, at the end, im Ochish, together with Ochish, who was the king of the Plishtim. Sometimes it's of benefit to quickly look at the whole perek on a superficial level, and then look at how the Meforshim analyze what the questions are and what the back and forth discussions are. Basically what happened is David is together with Achish. And it seems that the Plishtim objected that how can David go with them, go out together with them to war? And David said, no, why? And they wanted David to return back from the battlefront. And David persisted. He said, what's wrong? You know that I'm faithful and I'll fight with you. Why should I have to turn back? And once again, Achish says, no, the people don't want you to go to war, and then David agrees and he turns back. And the question is, we'll see exactly what the question and the answers are. In other words, the first time, David didn't seem to accept the argument that he should turn back. And then when the Plishtim persisted and said go back, so then David agreed. But if you look carefully at the terms, we start out talking about the Sarnei Plishtim. Sarnei Plishtim means like the governors. The governors of the Plishtim Ovrim were passing by. They were the leaders. Lemeos v'la'alofim were the hundreds and thousands. Now, it seems to imply there were hundreds and thousands of these governors. But we know that the Sarnei Plishtim only numbered five. It's mentioned a number of times. We had, after that first war, when the Plishtim captured the Oron, they captured the Ark, and they traveled around to all the Plishti cities, and the Plishtim were dying from a plague, and there was mice, and they had hemorrhoids, and there was a lot of suffering. And then after that incident, they sent a present back, Leilokei Yisrael, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it should be like a guilt offering, and they should be healed, and they should be forgiven. And they sent back, it says over there, five of the Tchorei Zohav and the Achperei Zohav, five of like these golden hemorrhoids and golden mice. They sent back the number five to represent the five governors of the Plishtim. There were five cities that had five main cities, Ashdod and Ashkelon. So there were five Sarnei Plishtim. So the simple meaning of the pasuk is that the Sarnei, the governors of the Plishtim, were passing by. L'meyos v'lalofim, and then the army followed with the officers, and the army went with groups of hundreds and of thousands. It could also seem to imply that the soldiers that went were, these were the elite corps, it was the whole army, but they had hundreds and thousands that were like governors. Each one was chashev in his own right. But for David v'anoshev ovrim bo'achronim Achish, David and his men were going in the back together with Achish. And we mentioned previously that Achish had chosen David to be his personal bodyguard, his personal protector. There was always the fear of the kings that if they had one of their own inner circle might mutiny, might rebel against them and kill them and take over, usurp the power. So it was very common that they would find a foreigner to be their personal bodyguard, because a stranger was not one of them won't realize that if he kills the king, he'll be killed. It's not like he can make an internal revolt. He's an outsider. So Achish had initially said that David will be with him, will be his personal guard. And even though that was a chush of a position to be the personal guard for the king, but it was understood that he didn't trust one of the Plishtim to be the guard, because the Plishtim might just kill Achish and take over. So he had appointed David to be his personal protector. Vayomru Sarei Plishtim. Now the Malba makes this point of saying here it says the Sarei is the officers of the Plishtim. Before we were talking about the governors, the Sarnei Plishtim. And this is going to be critical in terms of understanding the discussion. The officers of the Plishtim, meaning the officers of the army, said, Mo Ivrim Ha'ele, what are these Hebrews doing over here? Remember, David wasn't alone. David had come with a few hundred men. He had 600 men with him. Who are these Hebrews joining us when we go into this war? And it's a derogatory term, Ivrim, as opposed to Yisraelim. What are these Ivrim? Because Klai Yisrael, originally Avram came to Ever HaNor, from the other side of the river, they're called Ivrim. So what are they doing here? Now, it's not the first time where there were Ivrim that were together with them when they went to war. In Perek Yudalid, which was another battle that Klal Yisrael had with the Plishtim, that was the battle where they were all gathered together. And Yonasan and Klal Yisrael was on one mountain, and then the Plishtim were on the other. And then Yonasan went together with his weapons carrier, just the two of them, and they went to the Plishti side, and they attacked, and they routed the whole Plishti army. Over there in Perek Yud Dalid, Pasuk Chof Aleph, the Pasuk says, V'ha'ivrim hayu la'plishtim ke'esmol shulshom. The Ivrim, again, the Hebrews, the Jews, were with the Plishtim ke'esmol shulshom, like yesterday, the day before. They'd always been there. Asher o'imam ba'machana, they went up together with the Plishtim in their camp, Saviv, camped around with the Plishtim, v'gam heim alios im Yisrael. And now all of those Ivrim that were with the Plishtim, all of a sudden turned and joined Klal Yisrael, asherim shol v'yonason, that were together with Shol and Yonason. In Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Chof Aleph. Or the Plishtim are fighting Klal Yisrael, Shol and Yonason. Yehonasan was the one who started the attack, and then Shaul joined with his army, and then whichever Jews were with the Plishtim became the fifth column, and they joined the Jewish effort, and they turned against the Plishtim. What were the Ivrim doing over there? The Plishtim took them like slave labor to cut wood and to chop wood and draw water and to do whatever work, you know, maybe kitchen duty. They pulled them in together with the Plishti camp, not as fighters, but just to be there and help out. Now once Klal Yisrael attacked the Plishtim and they were winning, all of the Jewish help turned and helped Klal Yisrael against the Plishtim. But it was understood that very often they would take Ivrim to join them to help out, not to do the fighting. Here the question of Moha Ivrim Ho'ela is, besides the fact they had this bad experience that the last time when Klal Yisrael defeated the Plishtim, all of the Ivrim joined and fought against the Plishtim. But besides that, over there they were just helping out. I say doing kitchen duty, cutting wood, unimportant jobs. Here David had come with a few hundred men as fighters. We had mentioned before he had come to Achish on a previous occasion as a single person, and then there was a big tumult. This is the David who is the Melech HaAretz, who everybody goes out singing that he kills the tens of thousands, and then David had to act like he was Meshuga in order to escape with his life. This time David had come with a few hundred men who were soldiers, and he had sent them, he had obviously had negotiations with Achish that Shaul was after his life and he's not with Shaul, and it was already well known that the king was against him. And he had come with his few hundred men to join Achish, and Achish had given him a city, Tziklag, and he moved in with his family. Everybody brought their families with them. It was a different setup this time. But he was coming as his own regiment. He had his men, and this was going to be the Jewish unit in the war. And he was together with Achish in the back, but the fact that he had all these men, so now the Plishtim said, Moha Ivrim Ho'ele, what are they doing here? You have a whole group of Yidden, and they're going to go out to fight against Klal Yisrael. You're going to trust them to join us in the war? Vayomer Achish al-Sari Plishtim. So Achish said to the officers of the Plishtim, Halo Zed David, isn't this David Eved Shaul Melech Yisrael, who was the Eved, the servant of Shaul, the king of Klal Yisrael? We know where he came from, we know the history. He was the servant of Shaul, and he obviously turned against Shaul, and he fled, and he left him, and Shaul's after him. But he's the servant of Shaul. Asher Hoya Iti Ze Yomim, he was with me for days, or Zeshonim, or years. I didn't find anything wrong with him. It implies like he looked, but I didn't find any. I've been keeping my eye on him, and he's been with me for quite a while, and I haven't seen anything wrong. From the time that he joined us, he camped, he fell in with us, till today. So I know that he can be relied on. Now, Ze Yomim or Ze Shonim, the fact that it says David was with them for Yomim, sometimes for days or for years, we learned before in Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, it says exactly how long David was with the Plishtim. In Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, it says, Vayihi Mispar HaYomim, the number of days that David was in the stay Plishtim, the field of the Plishtim, was Yomim Va'arba Chadashim. Yomim in 4 months. And the Mefarshim, working out the years that transpired, say that Yomim means literally 2 days, because there were no years involved. It means 2 days and 4 months. So in light of that explanation, which we discussed more over there, there are those who say that it was years, but the simple meaning, it was only days. It was days and 4 months. So it could be when he said, Ze Yomim or Ze Shonim, that he's been with me for days or for years. If you count from the first time David came to Achish, remember, he was there twice. He came the first time and he acted like he was Meshuga and he was sent away. Then he came back later with his hundreds of men to join Achish. If you count from the first episode, Achish knew him for years. That could be why it was years. Or it could be it was only 4 months, but it sort of spanned the time of year that it had entered into the second year. Or it could be Achish is just exaggerating, but they're questioning Achish, how can you allow David to go with us to war? He said, he's been here for a long time. It feels like years. He's been here a long time. And I haven't seen anything wrong with him. Vayiktsafu olov sori plishtim. So now the officers of the plishtim become angry at Achish. Achish was the king. And yet, you see that the officers, the plishtim, it wasn't like sometimes you have a powerful monarch and everybody obeys and sort of falls into place. By the plishtim, there were times when they had no king. The main thing seems to be they had these, they had leaders and they had different governors. At this point, Achish was the king, but he obviously wasn't the powerful king. The governors wielded a lot of power. Because you hear the way they speak to him. Vayitzafu olov sori plishtim. The officers of the plishtim are angry at Achish. Vayomlo, and they said to him, the sori plishtim, Hoshev esayish. It's like they give him a command. Send him away. Return him. V'yoshev el makomo asher hifkadeto sham. Let him go back to the place where you appointed him. As they must have known that Achish had given him the city Tziklag. As he gave him a whole area and they moved in with their families. Send him back where he came from. Where you put him. V'lo yeridim ono b'milchama. He should not go down to war with us. V'lo yilonu l'satan b'milchama. He shouldn't be an antagonist against us in war. The sun usually is something that's sort of not visible. It's a hidden opponent. Like you always think of the malach, you know, or whatever, the sultan. Here the pshat is, in other words, even if he doesn't go to war, that he's going to be together with Achish, but you don't know what plots he's thinking of, what his plans are. He shouldn't go down to war. We're afraid he's going to cause trouble. He's going to be a sultan, an antagonist. He's going to cause problems in this war. You're telling me he's the servant of Sheol, and he ran away, and Sheol's after his life. How do you think he could find favor, El Adonav, to his master? If David wants to get on good terms with Sheol, and Sheol's after his life, and Sheol, and David really wants to be close to Sheol, what would he do to find favor by Sheol? Halo Barashi Ha'anoshim Ahem. Would it not be with the heads of these people? They're referring to themselves. In other words, the Plishtim are saying, if David ran away because Sheol was after him, David will kill the Plishtim in order to find favor by Sheol. This will be his act to show Sheol that he means well, and they'll make up. And if you're going to tell me that David left Sheol, not because Sheol was after David and David's looking for a way to endear himself to Sheol, but you'll tell me David just went away because he's looking for power and he wants to take over and that's why he left Sheol, but he's not a threat. But if that's the case, hello, Zed David. This is the David, Ashayanalov Amacholos. They would call out to him with the timbrels and they had dances. Lame were saying, Hikashol Balafov. Sheol hit with his thousands of soldiers, the David Brivavosov, and David with his tens of thousands. So whether David is just fleeing from Sheol, or David left on his own because he wants to become an independent ruler, either way, there's a danger of having him at the battlefront. Because he'll turn against the Plishtim, and he'll take over. He'll become the leader, or he'll find favor by Sheol. And therefore the officers of the Plishtim refuse, and they tell Achish, he better send David home, he can't come with us to war. Now Achish didn't want to say that to David. Achish, we'll see, was obviously very, very impressed with David, and he really means that David is reliable. And he doesn't feel comfortable telling David that others regard you with suspicion, that you're not being trusted. And we'll see in a moment what Achish says to David. But there's a question in the Mefarshim. The Ralbag mentions it in Pasuk Beis. The Ralbag says, Yesh Lishol, there's a question over here. How did David agree to go to war with Achish, to fight against Klal Yisrael? As we'll see, the Plishtim refused to have David and they sent him away. Whether he likes it or not, he can't join the battle. But it seems to be that if they would agree, and we'll see in a moment, David actually objected, David like wanted to go to the battlefront. How could it be that David agreed to go with Achish? And the Ralbag says simply, David was forced. He had gone to Achish with his men, and he told them that he was against Shaul. In fact, he had made up stories about how he was attacking the Yidden, which we learned he was actually attacking other nations. He didn't attack the Jews. But he had told Achish a whole story that he was attacking the other Yidden. He was helping out Achish. And now the war came, and Achish is counting on David joining him. David couldn't get out of it. So he was forced to go to the war. But the Ralbag says, "Vinei hoisamach sheves David belechdo, lios lesotan liplishtim." You can be assured that when David went, he was taka gonna be an adversary. He was gonna turn against the Plishtim. Olasakel atzosam al Yisrael, and he was gonna make foolish whatever counsel and whatever plans they had against Klal Yisrael. He would foil all of the military strategies. Kizem imashe yokelo asiyoso, and that would be easy for David to do, achashem bodchimbo, because they put their trust in him. David figured, you know, the Plishtim are trusting in him. He can go there and mess up the whole battle plan. And he'll turn against the Plishtim. And he had to go. He was forced to go. And once he would be there, he would turn against the Plishtim. What's interesting is that Bar Benel brings down the Ralbag's explanation. And he says, how could that be, Chalila? How could it be they're putting their trust in him? They're putting their trust in him, and then he's going to turn against them? I mean, it's funny, you know, each one way. I mean, the Ralbag doesn't seem to bother me, you know, as if he's forced to go to war, and of course he's going to help out Klal Yisrael, not, you know, but the Abravanel's bothered. How could it be somebody like David is upstanding and would turn against the Plishtim? So Abravanel says, what he would have done is he would have gone to war and he would have been neutral. He was going to go to war. Achish was put his confidence in him. He would be there to guard Achish's head. He would be the personal bodyguard of Achish, that whatever comes up in the battle, Achish will be safe. But he's not going to help the Plishtim. He's certainly not going to fight against the Yidden. Certainly not. He's all the way in the rear. Achish isn't leading the attack. He's I don't know if he's an armchair general or whatever, but he's in the back. And David's together with him, and he'll make sure that Achish is okay. And if it'll be a defeat, I guess he'll help Achish flee. You know, but he wasn't going to chas v'shalom attack the Yidden. But the Ravanel says, no, he wouldn't have gone against the Goyim either. If they trusted in him, he would have stayed neutral. But for David, this is a tremendous nisoyin. Whether he was planning, whether the pshat is like the Ralbag, that he was going to turn against the Plishtim, or you learn that like the Abar Benel, that he would have stayed neutral. But right now the Plishtim are going to attack Klal Yisrael. David's going to be there, and you can imagine what all the Yidden are thinking. Or is anybody who can see where the king is, they got their binoculars or whatever. The Gemara says Ram Gamliel had a telescope. But if they could see where the king Achish is, and they would see David is right there joining the battle, It's like you couldn't be caught in a more embarrassing situation for David to be there, well, helping, looking like he's helping the enemy. In Tehillim Kuf Lamed Tes, the Mefarshim bring down that David said that kapitel in terms of when he went through this point in his life. He said, "Hashem chakartani vateda, you've investigated, you've discerned my motive." Vatedan, you know that whatever, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what David's inner thoughts and feelings are. Atoyodata shivti vakumi, you know what I'm doing when I'm sitting and when I'm getting up. Banta lerei, you understand my thoughts. Meirochok, from way back, you always knew what I was thinking. And the Kapitel Tehillim continues, and toward the end it says, "Halo misanecho Hashem esna, but your enemies Hashem I hate. Uvisko mimecho eskotad, and those who quarrel, who fight with you," and fighting with Hashem means fighting with His people, fighting with Klal Yisrael. "Those who fight with Klal Yisrael eskotad, I'll fight with them." Or, but you, the point is that you Hashem know my My feelings, tachli sinas nesim, I hate them with the most extreme sinah. Lo'ivim hayli, they were my enemies. Chokreini kale, vidal avavi. Go ahead, search me, check me out, and you'll know my heart. B'chaneini vidas arapoi, test me and know my thoughts. Ure'eim derech otsev bi, and see if there's a path of otsev, like depression, and of sin. See if I'm on the wrong road, if I'm going to do the wrong thing. Unecheni b'derech olam, which some of us should learn. Unecheni b'derech olam, and if so, lead me on the way of the world. And the way of the world is that eventually everyone dies. And what David said is, if that's my plan, he should die. Now, as David said, that's it. In other words, I don't deserve to live if it's not like I'm saying. But when I'm going now against the Plishtim, you know that my real thoughts are not chas v'shalom to fight against Klal Yisrael, even though anybody who sees him in the war will see him right near Achish. So Achish was now going to tell David that the officers of the Plishtim refused to have David go to war. And we'll see in a moment that David ends up turning back from the battlefield. And this is one of the examples of the Hashkocha, and you see what a benefit it was. David was prepared to go to war, and he's going to put up an argument that he should be allowed to go and fight. But if he would have gone to fight, he would have lost out on the following episode. What happened is David turned back, And he went back, and he left the battlefield, and he went back to Tziklag. And he saw that the city had been destroyed by the Amalek, and his wives and the families were all taken away as captives. If David would have remained at the battlefield, they would have been lost. But he came back immediately. He was only gone from Tziklag a short amount of time, and therefore he was immediately able to rescue his family and the family of all of his the families of all of his men. So it's critical that he get back to Ziklag in order that he can rescue the families. Also, if he would have been at the war, even if he didn't do anything, the very fact you can imagine after Klal Yisrael, when Shaul, we're going to see Shaul and his sons were killed in war and Klal Yisrael was defeated, even if he did nothing to help, if David would have been with the victorious Goyim, who won the war, Klal Yisrael would not have been able to accept David. How could they accept David as the king and believe? They never would have been able to believe that David cares about Klal Yisrael. Here he's in the battle with Achish when Klal Yisrael is defeated and Shaul is killed. And you can imagine all of the arguments that, sure, David helped out and David wanted Shaul to die because after all, Shaul was after his life. So Hashem arranged that David was sent away. And we'll see that while Klal Yisrael was being defeated by the Plishtim, David ended up attacking other Goyim and defeating Amalek. So David was able to do other things to benefit Klal Yisrael, and therefore Shaul and his sons were killed, but David was able to bring other benefits to Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Vav. Vayikra Achish al David. So Achish calls to David. Vayomer Elov, and he said to him, Chai Hashem, as Hashem lives, which is a lashon of swearing. Ki yoshar ata, in other words, I swear that I know that you're straight. David, you're an upright person. V'tov ve'enai, and it's fine in my eyes. Seischo, when you go out, uvoacho, and you come in, iti with me, b'machana, in the camp. I like the fact that you're together with me. Kilo matzasi v'chara. I haven't found any evil, anything bad with you. Miyom bo'acha elai, from the day that you came to me, ad hayom hazeh, till today. Uve'enei hasronim lo tov ata. But in the eyes of the governors, you're not good. The Malbim points out, he stresses, it's good in my eyes, seischo vo'acho iti, that you go out and you come in with me. There were two things two reasons why David could be sent away. The first one is the Plishtim don't trust him to go to war, which is what we've been explaining all along. That's an objection of those who lead the troops. The Sarei Plishtim, the officers of the Plishtim, don't want to have him in the army. There's a different problem, and that is that the Plishtim have five main governors. These are the most prominent Plishtim, besides the king. They're almost, as we saw, they speak to the king with a certain audacity and a boldness. They're almost, it's not like they're totally subservient to the king. They feel that they're almost, the second in command. And all of a sudden, David is taken, and there was a rationale for it, but to take David and to make him the personal bodyguard of Achish, they were jealous. They objected to it. Achish didn't have the heart to say to David, "We don't trust you. We're afraid that you're going to turn against us." So Achish said to David, "The officers, the governors, Uve'ene Hasronim, in the eyes of the governors, you're not good." Meaning they don't want you with me. They would like to have that honor. So therefore, V'ata Shuv, now you'll have to return, V'leich V'shalom, and go in peace. Don't do what's bad in the eyes of the Plishti governors. They don't want you to come to the war because they're jealous. They don't want you to be my bodyguard, and therefore you should turn back. It's interesting. There's a pasuk in the Torah. V'shem Elohim Acherim Lo Sazkiru. You're not allowed to mention the name of Elohim Acherim. As Rashi explains in Yisro by the Seres Hadibros, when it says Elohim Acherim, it doesn't mean other gods. You can't say such a thing, because there is no other gods. Ours is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there is nothing else that's... Einod Milvado. You can't say there's other gods. No, Chas V'Shalom. If there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's not others. So what does it mean Elohim Acherim? It either means Elohim Acherim, gods that are others, they are like indifferent, they act like strangers to those who worship them. People worship these strange gods, and they don't get a response. They're indifferent to those who plead to them. Arik mean Elohim Acherim, gods that are believed by others. In other words, Elohim, the powers, Acherim, of other people. There are other people who accept them as a power. But the Pasuk says, that's the explanation of Elohim Acherim. But the Pasuk says, Shem Elohim Acherim Lo Sazkiru, you're not allowed to mention the names of Avodah Zarah. Except Avodah Zarah that is mentioned in the Torah, like Baal Peor and Baal Tzfon, and whatever Avodah Zarah are mentioned in the Torah, you can mention. In fact, there's brought down in Halacha, a discussion about is a person allowed to make a business partnership with a goy, because very often the partners would swear to each other, and then if the goy wants to show that he's telling the truth, he would swear using the name of his Avodah Zarah. And again, V'shem Elohim Acherim Lo Sazkiru, you can't cause the name of Avodah Zarah to be mentioned. It's permitted now. Nowadays a lot of things are permitted simply because it's not possible to exist without having business dealings with the goyim. But you see over here, the point being, Vayomere Lov, Achish was so impressed and so inspired. We'll see by David the way he continues speaking about David. But when he said, Ki Yosher Atza, you're straight in my eyes and you're good and I trust you, when he swore to David, he said, Chai Hashem, by the life of Hashem. And he didn't mention his Avodah Zarah. David was able to deal with Achish in a way that inspired Achish, that at least when he's speaking to David, when he made a shvuah, he said, Chai Hashem, he swore by Hashem. But David has to turn back. And it seems, Va'ato Shuv, he's telling David alone. He should return by himself, V'leich B'Shalom, and go quietly. Just go ahead, go in peace, and don't come with us. Va'yomer David Alachish. David said to Achish, Ki me'o sisi, what did I do? What did you find by your servant? From the day that I was before you till today, kilo ovo v'nil chamti, that I shouldn't come and battle v'oyve adoni hamelech against the enemies of my master, the king. What David said was, you haven't found anything wrong with me. And if the governors don't want me to be your bodyguard, I won't be. But let me be like a regular foot soldier. You know that I'm a reliable person. Let me go and fight against the enemies of the king. A simple explanation would be like the Ralbag that, he really would be a soldier and he would be able to turn against the Plishtim and help Klal Yisrael. I guess even Abar Benel would learn that he was just saying this to look as if, you know, he knew that Achish would turn him back. But David seems to like press his point that if I can't be your personal bodyguard, so you know that I'm reliable, let me go and fight against the enemies of my master, the king. Meaning the enemies of Achish, which of course is Klal Yisrael. Vayan Achish vayomer el David. So now Achish is forced to tell him the truth. Achish calls out and he says to David, Yodati, I know, kitov ato be'enai, you're good in my eyes, kamalach Elokim. You're like an angel of God. I believe it, mamash like a malach. Or as he was so, but you see the way this goy refers to David, he was able to sense the kedusha and the, or as, you're in my eyes like a malach. Ach sorry flishtim omru. But the plishti officers, again back to the sorry plishtim, now it's the officers of the army, they said lo yali monu b'milchama, that David should not come up with us to war. Whereas now he had to level with David. It's not just that they're jealous of your position, they don't trust you. Va'ata hashkim baboker. So now that he's telling them this, he's telling, you actually have to get up early in the morning, because I don't want just you going. The truth is that they don't trust you in the war, and the truth is you're going to have to go with your men. Perhaps if David would have just gone by himself, his men could have stayed. But the Mefarshim actually say one reason why David insisted he wanted to go to war is he knew Achish would send him back with his men. As if the excuse was that they're jealous of your position, and the governors don't want you to be the bodyguard, so then David would go back by himself, but all of his 600 men would be stuck there in the army fighting against Klal Yisrael. So David argued, no, let me go and fight, knowing that they would say, we don't trust you to fight, and therefore he and all of his men would be turned back from the battlefield, which is what happened. Va'ata now hashkim ba'boker. You're going to be defecting with a lot of your men. You're all going to be leaving the battle scene. So get up early in the morning, because it's a bizoyin. If you have an army and some people are sent away and they can't go fight, so get up early in the morning. Va'avdei adonecha shebo we talk with the servants of your master. Your master would be Shol. But go together with your other servants, shebo we talk, all of you that came. And they don't trust you. They still think you might be servants of Shol. Go together with your men early in the morning. V'yishkamtem baboker, get up early in the morning. V'or lachem, so that as soon as it's light, get up by a lois hashachar, and as soon as it's light, a little later, on eitzer, v'or lachem, as soon as it's light, v'oleichu, then go. But you can't be at the battle, you have to leave. V'yashkim David, so David got up early. Huva anoshav, he and his men, Loleches bavoker, to go in the morning, Loshuv al eretz plishtim, to return to the land of the plishtim, who plishtim olu Yisrael, and the plishtim went up to Yisrael, which we learned in the first pasuk, that's where Klal Yisrael was camped. Or the war now is imminent, but it's what's exciting is it goes back and forth between Shol and his men, and David and the plishtim. So right now we're going to put this on pause. The plishtim are now going up to Israel. The battle's about to start. But David is leaving. Now we're going to focus on what's happening with David. And we'll get back to the plishtim in the battle. And Perek Lamed, we'll start it. Perek Lamed. Vayhi and it was, Bevo David v'anoshov Tziklag. When David and his men came to Tziklag, Bayom HaShlishi, on the third day, meaning they were only gone for 3 days, it was a short amount of time. Achish had left, David was in Siklag with their families and with their men. The Plishtim gathered everyone for war. So David went to join them. And when they were ready to go, with the hundreds and thousands of soldiers, the officers of the Plishtim said, no, you have to send David away. And he went back to Siklag. He was only gone for 3 days. V'amaleki foshtu. And the Amalekim spread out El Negev to the south. And we'll see later on, it was not just the city of David Siklag. It was the south. It was the south of Eretz Yisrael and the south of the land of the Plishtim. The whole south area the Plishtim had attacked. It was in this perek, in perek Yud Dalet, it says clearly they went to the Negev HaKresi, which is the south of the Plishti area, and they attacked other areas in Yehuda and Siklag. So Vamaleki Foshu El Negev El Tziklag, to the southern area, and to Tziklag, Vayaku Es Tziklag, and they struck the city of Tziklag, Vayisrafu Oysa Ba'esh, and they burnt it in fire. First of all, you see the Plishtim, it was just like in the Torah, they had that same character trait, almost all that, they were bold to attack Klal Yisrael, and yet they did it, sort of, Vayizanev B'cho Kolanecha Sholim Acharecha. There they caught the stragglers, those that were outside the camp, those that were in the rear. Those were the ones that Amalek attacked. Here you have the same thing. They came to attack the city Tziklag when there were no men around. As they went ahead, when the city was defenseless, and that's when Amalek came to attack. The Torah, you know, a lot of the proofs, not that you need true proofs, but somebody who's you know, especially for people who are not yet from, and they look in the Torah to see proof that it's from a hashkocha min hashamayim. But there's a mitzvah, there's certain mitzvahs in the Torah that you can see klar that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given such a mitzvah, and one of them is the mitzvah of Ola Rego, because it says over there every able-bodied man had to go to Yerushalayim 3 times a year. V'lo yachmod ishes artzacha. And there's a promise, no person will desire your land when you go to be Oyla Regal. Meaning this wasn't something that happened once in history. It wasn't like one time, you know, there's a parade and the police are all at the parade and therefore, you know, a crime happens because there are no policemen around. This was 3 times a year. Year in, year out, for hundreds of years, all of the men went to Yerushalayim. It was usually the whole, the women and the families also. It was worse than when people go to the bungalows in the summer and leave an empty house. Here was, you know, everyone went to Yerushalayim, but certainly all the men were gone. And the Torah promises nobody will ever take over your land. They won't desire it, and everything will be peaceful. You can just leave the house, come back, and everything will be the way you left it. Whole cities were like ghost towns 3 times a year, and the whole world knew about it. It's incredible. But the Torah promises it, and there was never a problem. It was fulfilled. You never find that they were Oyla Regal and the Goyim attacked them. And here you see David and his men were gone for 3 days. A short time. They left Siklag with their family for 3 days. And they came back and the city was burnt. Vayishpus Hanoshim Asher Bo. They captured the women that were in the city. Mikoton Vagol, from young to old, meaning all the children were taken away. Lohe Misuish, and yet they didn't kill a person. Which is also tremendous hashkocha. Not a single person was killed. Vayin hagu, and they led them. Vayelchu ledarkam, they went on their way. They took everybody, burnt down the city, took everybody and left. Vayavo David va'anoshav. David came with his men. El ha'ir, to the city. V'hinei srufa ba'esh. It was burnt by fire. Vehine, it's a chiddush. Behold, can you see such a thing? All of a sudden, they left the city. They never dreamed. They came back and they saw this tragedy. Unesheim uvneim uvnoseim nishbu. Their wives, their sons, their daughters were all captured. Probably they looked around and they didn't see any. There were no dead bodies. There was nobody. Nobody was killed, and nobody was. It was clear that all the people were gone. They were all taken away. Vayisa David veha'om asher ito. David and the people with him raised as kolam their voice, vayivku, and they cried. It's David's the one who seems to be the the one who began the crying, the main one, Vayisa David, David and the people with him raised their voice and they cried. Arashir ein bohem koach livkos. They cried and they cried and they cried till they had no more strength to cry anymore. This is such a tragedy that they came back and they saw he had came with his ushtei neshei David nishbu. The two wives of David were captured. Achinoam ha-Yisraelis, Achinoam, the Israelis, va-Avigail and Avigail Eshes Novel HaKarmeli, who was the wife, who had been the wife of Novel HaKarmeli. The two wives of David were captured, and they were tremendous tzidkonios in their own right. They were very righteous, and yet you see their zchus didn't help them. The Ramban has a Sefer HaGemul, where he discusses the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his, how Hashem conducts the world with rewards and punishment. He discusses it, but this is, we come across it, you know, constantly in Tanakh, but sometimes it's not a reflection on a person's tzidkus when a tragedy like this occurs. I must imagine somebody like David HaMelech and his wives were such tzidkaniyos, and such a things happened that the goyim came ahead and carried them away as captives, and David doesn't know where they are and what's going to be with them. Vateitzer leDavid ma'od. This caused anguish. This troubled David very much. Ki amru ha'am l'sakol. The people said they were ready to stone David. They were ready to kill him. His own men, as they had put their confidence in David, and they followed David, and they did whatever David suggested. Ki mara nefesh kol ha'am. The soul of all the people was bitter. Ish al bonov al benosov. Every man had his own personal tragedy. His sons and his daughters were carried away. And it seems they were more concerned with the children than with their wives. I saw the Me'am Lois. It's a very poignant statement. It pains the heart just when you read it. But they're right. With the wives, they weren't as concerned because they knew the wives would be moiser nefesh. If the goyim would force them to go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they knew the wives were on the Madrega. But the children, what about the children? The Ksiv is almost written Beno, like his son, but it's like a single son in Benos of the daughters. And they point out there also there was a greater concern with the daughters than with the sons. The sons, they felt, would be Omeid B'Nisoyon, would be able to withstand whatever tests they were confronted with. But everyone had his own personal tragedy. And it could all be blamed on David. And they were ready to stone David because it's almost a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not with David. Or they put their trust in him because they felt he was the Baal Ruach HaKadosh, he was the one with him who was close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here it's a clear signal, the fact that their families are carried away, that David is leading them on the wrong path. David, I guess David couldn't give them Musar and he couldn't straighten them out. It was a case they were all against him and they weren't receptive to hearing whatever words he had. But David strengthened himself. He was able to channel whatever feelings he has to strengthen himself, that he knows Vashem Elokov, Hashem Elokov is God. It's like a very personal relationship. Elokov, it's his Elokim. He feels that closeness and that bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu definitely planned this, and this was with Hashkacha. The truth is the very fact that Amalek didn't kill anyone. They came to the city, no one had been killed. There also he saw a sign of Hashkacha. But David strengthened himself that even though everyone doesn't see the Hashkacha, and everyone feels this is a mistake, but it can't be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help them. They were angry at David because it was David's the leader and he's to blame for whatever transpires. It was his idea to go to Achish. If he wouldn't have gone to Achish, they would have been home. This wouldn't have happened. And he had agreed to go to the war. In fact, David had started up with Amalek. Previously it says that David had fought against the Amalekim. So it could be the very fact that he had fought against is in Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Ches. It says, David and his men went when they had been staying with the Achish and they raided and they attacked the other goyim in the area, it says clearly they had started up with the Amaleki. They start up with the Amalek. So it could be even like the fact that David attacked Amalek, the Amalek was especially after David. Other Mephorshim say they were angry at David because David seemed to be the one who was Ba'isa David. David was the one who like led the crying, and he's the one who was felt the loss the greatest. Vatetzar le David mode, and it pained David very much, and they felt that David was taking this tragedy to heart instead of getting up and fighting. Let him get up and find out where they are. There's no dead bodies here. Now's not the time to cry. So they all sat down and cried. But then at a certain point, they were upset with David. Okay, in other words, well, we got to act. Could be they were upset at David that even if they went out to war, he should have left some people behind to protect the city. As he didn't have to take everyone to go with Achish. So they were ready to stone David. Vayischazek David b'Hashem alakov. David strengthened himself with his bitochen in Hashem. And at this episode, the Mefarshim say, David said the kapitel in Tehillim, or we say during Chodesh Elul, Hashem oiri v'yishi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my light and my salvation. And it says over there, Bikrov olai mereyim, when the evil doers come close to me, they gather for war against me. Lech les besari, to eat my flesh. Ishto kigufo. In other words, tamamish, in other words, they took their wives. In other words, his wives were taken, so the goyim were coming, lech les besari. Sorry, voivaili, they're my enemies, but they'll have their downfall. And im tachne olai machne lo yirolibi, I won't be afraid if you gather to war against me. Im tokum olai milchoma, and if you rise up to war against me, bezos ani boteach, I'll trust in Zos. And I saw the Me'am Loi says, Yehuda was promised, bezos li Yehuda vayoymar. Moshe Rabbeinu said, this bracha goes to Yehuda. Shema Hashem kol Yehuda vel amo tivienu, yodov rovlo ve'ezem mitzorov tia, that David will go out to battle, that Yehuda, which David comes from Shevet Yehuda. Yehuda will go out to battle and they'll be able to succeed against the enemy. So b'zos ani boteach, and that promise of the Torah, b'zos li Yehuda, that Yehuda will be able to overcome the enemy. So when the enemies come and they took away David's wives and they took away the families, im tokum alai melchama, b'zos ani boteach, v'yischazek David b'Hashem alakov. David strengthened himself with his bitochen in Hashem, and we'll see later on how he's able to rescue his family and bring them back. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.